Hello and welcome to the Bible Difficulties and Answers podcast. I'm your host, Lance Smith. Today, we continue in our multi-week podcast. This is episode 3 of 4, focusing on Cain. Once again, we have a very interesting question to ponder as to where Cain got his wife. Does this story indicate Cain was not part of the original creation story? Was an existing population already available for Cain to choose a wife from? Or did Cain marry a close relative, like a sister or niece? As usual, I'll present a number of different opinions from my research and conclude with my own thoughts. Show notes will include links to all we discuss. Are you ready to dive in? All right, let's learn together. Genesis 4:17, and as usual, we'll read from the New Living Translation. Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain founded a city, which he named Enoch, after his son. All right, the problem is defined by the Big Book of Bible Difficulties, and it appears fairly obvious here. There were no women for Cain to marry. There was only Adam, Eve, and his dead brother Abel. Yet the Bible says Cain married and had children. Okay, let's go back to the Big Book of Bible Difficulties again for their solution. It is as follows. Cain married a sister, or possibly a niece. The Bible says Adam had sons and daughters, as we find in Genesis 5:4. In fact, since Adam lived 930 years, quick aside, we find that in Genesis 5:5, and it's something we're going to cover. That is how people live to be over 900 years old in a podcast a month from now. All right, continuing with the Big Book of Bible Difficulties solution. Adam had plenty of time for plenty of children. Cain could have married one of his many sisters or even a niece. If he married after his brothers or sisters had grown daughters. In that case, of course, one of his brothers would have married a sister, which was not forbidden until much later in Leviticus. Back to me. We're still dealing with the story of the creation and fall narrative here. So in fairness, we need to give weight to those who may believe otherwise. As longstanding and attentive listeners know by now, the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible offers a somewhat strange commentary. It is as follows. Cain's marriage, along with his fear of others, presume the presence of a broader population, indicating that the stories about him were once not connected with creation. All right, that's a really big leap for the New Revised Standard Version to make here. There's nothing in the story that contradicts the creation narrative. Now, for those listeners who paid close attention last week to this podcast, I mentioned my personal belief that Adam, Eve, and Cain were not the only people on earth at the time of Abel's murder. This verse is a test of that belief. Where do you think we'll land as far as Cain's wife? Right, let's begin by looking at some really interesting research here. We'll start with the article, If Evolution Were True, What Would Happen to Adam and Eve? From January 13, 2018, by Evan Minton. In this article, he goes into great detail about Christian apologist and blogger Tim Stratton. From Stratton's blog post, Should Christians Oppose Evolution? In this blog, Stratton offers the following evolutionary creation model. It's called the Strattonian model. Hang with me here. There are 15 short points, and it's really thought-provoking. All right, let's get started. Number one, God exists and possesses omniscient mental knowledge. Now, mental knowledge means God knows not only what will happen when we make a decision, but also what would have happened had we made another decision. Two, the Big Bang. God chooses and actualizes this world and all that will happen in it. Three, the universe unfolds. Four, our solar system and Earth come into existence. Five, life evolves exactly the way God knew it would via his design in the finely tuned initial conditions of the Big Bang. Six, Homo sapiens evolve as planned, not by accident. Seven, God breathes his image, a soul, into the Homo sapien, making the first human in another act of special creation. 8. God does the same thing with a female Homo sapien and then breathes his image into her, making the first female human. 9. God separates Adam and Eve from the other soulless Homo sapiens, who are physically identical but not spiritually, and places them in the Garden of Eden with the Tree of Life. As long as they eat of this tree, they will never experience a physical death. 10. After the fall, Adam and Eve are expelled from the paradise of Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life. Now they will eventually die. 11. After Adam and Eve's son Cain kills their other son Abel, Cain is expelled from the world's only, quote, human tribe, close quote. Cain is scared of the other soulless Homo sapiens who may kill him. 12. Cain finds a physically identical but soulless Homo sapien female as a wife. The human soul is always passed on to offspring, and this avoids any bottlenecking problems. 13. The human soul is a trait preferred via natural selection as it allows for rationality. 14. Soon, all Homo sapiens have souls created in the image of God. Therefore, now all Homo sapiens are human. All humans are Homo sapiens, but not all Homo sapiens have been human. And 15, this is exactly the way God planned and designed life to unfold. It all started with the Big Bang, close quote. Okay, back to me. Now, this is a model designed to allow for other Homo sapiens, albeit soulless, for an explanation for Cain's wife. Now, if you're having trouble imagining what a potential soulless Homo sapien would be, think about the humans that were captured in the movie Planet of the Apes. Those humans, unlike Charlton Heston, they could not speak. They were similar to Heston, but distinct. However, Stratton himself does not argue this as the correct interpretation model for us to use. Continuing from the article, Tim Stratton, after presenting this model, went on to stress that he isn't saying this model of creation is true. In fact, he wasn't even arguing that evolution is true. Rather, he's presenting this model as a possibility to show that macroevolution and Genesis 1 through 11 being historical accounts are not mutually exclusive affirmations. There is a logically possible way that both can be true. Therefore, if one is convinced of the Bible, one does not have to throw out evolution. If one is convinced of evolution, that is no cause to throw out the Bible. This model shows that it's logically possible for both Darwinian macroevolution to be true and for the historical accounts in Genesis to be true, close quote. All right, back to me. My original premise, that is of other humans existing at the same time as Cain, is lacking the scholarship pedigree to make a convincing case for me now. I can't find a biblical scholar who will stake his or her claim to this. So my predisposition here may not be right. There are several specific points that demonstrate that the claim of additional humans outside the Garden of Eden is flimsy at best. Dr. William Lane Craig, from his Reasonable Faith podcast of March 16, 2020, titled Josh Swamidas and Christianity Today, says, and I quote, "I think that this is exaggerating the degree to which Scripture supports the notion that there are people outside the garden. I think the drift of Scripture is really quite against that idea. You remember when Adam was created, it says that there was no man to till the ground until God created Adam. And there was no one that could be found to be a suitable mate for Adam until Eve was specially created. The only evidence in Genesis for people outside the garden, this slim reed on which this theory must rely, is where Cain found his wife. People have wondered, who was Cain's wife? Traditionalists would have said he married a sister. But people who support the idea of humans outside the garden would say, no, this is an indication that there were people outside the garden, and that's who Cain's wife was. I think that's a very slender reed on which to base such a theory," close quote. In another Reasonable Faith podcast, this one from March 15, 2021, titled Questions on the Trinity, Neanderthals, and Gravity, begins with the co-host Kevin Harris asking this question. Okay, what do people bring up? That Cain, he went to the land of Nod, and there were people there. To which Dr. Craig responds, well, it doesn't say that. What it does say is that he took a wife, and that is the single shred of evidence to which these folks can appeal for people outside the garden. Where did Cain's wife come from? Those who believe in Adam and Eve as universal ancestors of mankind will usually say he married one of his sisters, close quote. All right, back to me. I'd understood Cain as having to travel to the land of Nod to find a wife. Dr. Craig, as we discussed, says this is not so, and he's also not the only one. Dr. Georgia Perdon, from a July 1st, 2014 article titled, Where Did Cain Get His Wife?, says, and I quote, the Bible does not say that Cain went to Nod and later found a wife there. Rather, the implication in Scripture is that he already had a wife when he went to Nod. The event that took place in Nod was that he knew his wife, had sexual relations with her, and she conceived and gave birth to a son, close quote. Now, that's an interesting detail. Nowhere in verse 16 and 17 does it say Cain's wife was from the land of Nod. So the point to me seems valid. He already had a wife. A quick aside, the word nod is the Hebrew root of the verb to wander. Therefore, to settle in the land of Nod can mean to live a wandering life. So in essence, Cain left the Lord's presence to enter a land of wandering. Very interesting. So that leaves us now with the issue of sibling marriage. Let's continue with some additional scholarship of interrelated marriage as an explanation for Cain's wife. Like me, your thoughts may be this sounds exactly like incest, something specifically prohibited by Scripture. Short answer, yes, it is, in latter Scripture. Could a case be made that in this specific situation, it was both acceptable and necessary? Tom Nash has an interesting article with the provocative title, Why Incest in Genesis Was Okay, lays out the case why there is nothing morally wrong with intermarriage within the first generation of offspring for Adam and Eve, as there was no choice for a spouse except from among their siblings. As Nash writes, as a result of original sin, disease and other defects began to plague man, culminating in death. These diseases and defects are more likely to be passed on via procreation within ancestral unions. However, because Adam and Eve were created directly by God, this was not a major concern for children procreated through the intermarriage of their first generation sons and daughters. The gene pool had not been impaired as it would be in successive generations. And as we consistently found in this podcast, going back to the original Hebrew gives us our best answer. In an article titled Cain's Wife from Answers in Genesis, September 13, 2007, it says, and I quote, the Hebrew word for wife used in Genesis 4:17, this is the first mention of Cain's wife, is Isha. It means woman or wife or female. The word Isha is the word for woman, and it means from man. It's a derivation of the Hebrew words Ish and Enosh, which both mean man. This can be seen in Genesis 2:23, where the name woman, Isha, is given to the one who came from Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, Isha, because she was taken out of the man, Ish. Thus, Cain's wife is a descendant of Adam. Therefore, she had to be his sister or possibly niece. Hebrew readers should be able to make this connection easier. However, much is lost when it's translated. Close quote. Okay, back to me. That's why I love this podcast. My preconceived notion of how to explain this difficult Bible verse does not match with the most current and reliable scholarship. I am now firmly in the camp of Cain finding a wife from most likely a sister or less likely a niece. And that's my goal of how we learn together each week. Sometimes my initial thoughts are right. Sometimes the research leads me to another and more correct solution. Next week, we conclude our podcast series on Cain and his actions by exploring Genesis 4:17 again with our episode titled, How Could Cain Marry a Relative Without Committing Incest? You may reach out to us at our website, BibleDifficultiesAndAnswers.podbean.com, or you may reach out to me directly at our email address, BibleDifficultiesAndAnswers@gmail.com, with any questions, comments, concerns, fits of righteous indignation, or just to say hi. Also, please like and subscribe to this podcast and also write a review and give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or your podcast venue of choice. It really does help get the word out about the most amazing book ever written. Again, I'm Lance Smith. Until next time, I wish you good luck, good health, and God bless. So long, everybody.